Holy Ghost. It's a new wine. I have a few people that understand what I'm talking about. So I want to jump right into this thing real quick. If you would turn with me to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to read out of the NIV and I'm going to move quickly. It is 11:30, but I want to make sure I get everything out that needs to come out so you have an understanding of what God wants to get to you. Amen. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 16 out of the NIV, it says, out of his fullness we have received grace in place of grace already given. Did you read it? Do you have it? John chapter 1, verse 16. Did you read it? Did I tell you something that is not in the scripture? Watch it now, watch it now. It's in the scripture. What version do you have, Colleen? All right, can you go to Amplified and then read it, please?
Okay. For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift.
Say it one more again, please. Okay.
For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift.
Heaped, piled on, put on top of. Are you understanding what God has already given us? Well, it is January 1st, 2017, and we are here at the House of Manna, are we not? We're at the House of Manna. And I'm looking at some folks in here saying, Pastor, will you just get on? I got some stuff cooking in the crock pot. I've got some barbecue that I got to get to. But I'm going to get you something that I think is going to set you on course and to let you know that God has already empowered you heap upon heap, stacks upon stacks, gifts upon gifts, power upon power, and he's given you grace upon grace to do what he's called you to do. Now, if you don't know what he's called you to do, you may be stumbling around trying to figure things out on your walk. But you need to understand what God is speaking. How many of you know that God speaks also by numbers? In the gematria, it is a way that God speaks and that everything has a meaning. What does the number 5 mean? Grace, that is favor. Say it with me now, favor. Favor. Do you know what favor can do for you? Favor will open doors. Favor will open doors that no man has access to but God. Favor will begin to open things in the spiritual realm that when you walk through it, things in the natural become supernatural. We have been walking around thinking that everything that we have been through was to try to take us out. It was causing you to go in. If it didn't take you out, it was meant to take you in. So the grace of God that has been given to you is for you to enter into a door that he has opened for you because favor is on you. That's just the number 5. I said, okay, God, I understand by the scripture that grace, number 5 means grace. But then I started digging in a little bit more. You know, I like to dig. I got a shovel in my office. Do you know that the Ten Commandments has 2 sets of 5 commandments? Yeah. Oh, wow, Pastor, that was deep. That was deep. Well, then I knew it was 10. Okay, so you got 5 and 5. But then I started looking at it. He says the first 5 commandments are related to how our treatment and relationship is towards God. That's the first set. Then the second set of 5 is in based upon the relationship that we have with others. So in order for us to have completion, and for us to understand what God's intent is, we need to have not just a relationship with God, but we need to learn to have a relationship with each other. Or are you hearing me? So what is the trick of the enemy in the church? It's to come in and get you all so divided so that you can't fulfill the commandment that he's already given. You want to say, I've been in the presence of the Lord, but you come out acting like a viper yourself amongst the brothers and sisters in the church. Not you guys, because y'all are holy. You're holy. Got some holes in your faith, but it's okay. But he tells us in his holy scriptures and the commandments that we need to learn how to have a relationship with God, but also to have a relationship with our brothers and sisters. If he's instituted that, then we needed to understand that his grace and favor is so that when someone comes and rubs us the wrong way, like in 2016, there was a whole lot of people getting rubbed the wrong way, weren't they? How many of you were getting rubbed the wrong way? Some of y'all don't even want to put your hands up because you're sitting next to the one that made, you know, rubbed you the wrong way. But just look over there and say, I'm smooth now. Look at him. Say, I'm smooth now. I've been polished over. Come on now. Come on. Say it like you mean it. Even though they were the one talking about you, I'm smooth now. I'm polished over. See, 2016 was a time of trying. There was testing. There was trials. Some of us had so many tribulations, we thought that the world was ending. Take us, Lord, now. I can't take this no more. You were rebuking every kind of devil. You started making up names for devils. And nothing changed. So if it doesn't change when you're rebuking the devil that you created and it still doesn't go away, you already missed that one. It's the devil that you created, you named it, and it kept in your pocket with you for a long time. And in 2016, that little pocket demon that you've been carrying around had begun to manifest in some of your relationships, even in the relationship towards God. And God used it to show you, I want more for you. It was a stripping process. It was a cutting away. But now in 2017, he's going to reveal to us even more. Even more. When God reveals, do you think it's just to give you another revelation and say, ooh, I got revelation and nobody want to hear it? No, he wants to show you more of who he is in you and through you. And if you have a hard time being around people, yeah, I'm at the house of manna. I am. Because I feel it. If you have a hard time getting around people that just rub you the wrong way still, God says you have to love them. Love your enemy. Love the hell right on out of them. When they think they got all the knowledge and all the scripture down to a pack, but they don't know how to live it. They don't know how to display it. Love the hell right on out of them. Look. If he gave it to us in the Ten Commandments and he wrote it on stone, now that we have Jesus Christ who writes upon our hearts with his finger, he tells us, this is what I want done. I need you to understand that the grace I've given you is sufficient. I know I wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for his grace. You know what kind of grace I'm talking about? The grace and the favor that comes your way even though you don't deserve it. I know y'all are so holy, y'all have y'all's halos polished. But some of the things that have transpired in our lives are based on our decisions and our emotions. And the grace was sufficient to get us through. I said, Lord, this is, man, I don't want to rebuke on the first day of 2017 because rebuke is love. I said, why am I getting rebuked? He goes, you need it the most. Think I'm exempt? Shoo. Sometimes I feel like the piñata that I'm up there just hanging by the thread. He said, once I hit you enough times on the left and on the right, something good is going to come out of you. Some good treats about to come out of you, but just let me work on you a little bit. But Lord, I'm just dangling up here to be hit. He says, yeah, you're my instrument. If you're getting hit on the left, get ready because the right's about to be hit too. You're not going to get blindsided. You're going to know what's coming. I'm going to let you see some things. Prepare yourself. Because what is coming in 2017 will be a display of his glory like never before. This isn't to say to get you all hyped up, because the truth of the matter is we've heard so many declarations from so many prophets, so many people saying, this year, and it still hadn't happened. 2014, we're going to see God have a revival in San Antonio. Ain't no revival. 2015, we're going to see God pour out upon all flesh. We ain't seen nothing poured out yet in 2015. We got to 2016. Oh, this is it. This is the year of the open door. Prophet Marty said, open doors. We're going to transcend. We're going to go someplace. Yeah, we're going to go down. He opened the door, right? And we went down to humble us. Oh, y'all better hear this. But when you're down, get ready, because he's getting ready to lift you up. Everything that tried to suppress you and keep you down is getting ready to come up. And it's going to be the footstool for you to enter in to a whole new level. The number five, God commands Israel to bring to him five primary types of offerings. The first one is the burnt offering. You can find that in Leviticus 1, 8, and then 18 through 21, and Leviticus 16 and 24. The next offering is the sin offering, which is in Leviticus 4, Leviticus 16, 3 through 22. The next offering is the trespass offering. Leviticus 5, 14 through 19, Leviticus 6, 1 through 7, and Leviticus 7, 1 through 6. The next offering is grain offering, which is in Leviticus 2. And number five is the peace offering, Leviticus 3, Leviticus 7, 11 through 34. If God gives us the number five for grace and favor, and then he gives us the primary types of offerings unto him, he is showing us that his grace is sufficient in all things. It is sufficient in everything that you're going through, everything you're about to experience, and everything you're about to overcome. It is sufficient. The tabernacle in the wilderness reflects God's grace in the use of number five. The tabernacle was designed by God, given the instructions to Moses. And I want you to see this. The tabernacle contained five curtains. That's in Exodus 26, 3. It contained five bars. Exodus 26. Five pillars and five sockets. Exodus 26. And an altar made of wood that was 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. Exodus 27. The height of the court within the tabernacle was 5 cubits, Exodus 27. I want you to hear this real quick. God is instituting in this season for the church, his bride, for the grace and favor to help build a tabernacle outside the four walls of the organized church. In other words, what God is saying is, I'm going to take my scripture, my word, and I'm going to use you as my tabernacle. I'm going to put you out in the world system, and I'm going to have you minister to others that nobody wants to minister to. They will never enter into the house of worship, but you're the one that's going to take his presence to them. If the tabernacle was erected in the wilderness represents the world. We're so caught up in how everything looks, and as long as we have the church to sound good, and as long as we have a drummer, a keyboardist, and a guitarist, and one singer, we're okay. But what happens when things are flipped and switched over, where the actual church is the praise and worship leaders? You're going to miss this. What would happen if the real voice wasn't the one that stands up here, but the real voice is the one that comes from in here. You can change things around by the way that you begin to see who you are. Once you see that you are the mouthpiece, you're the messenger, you're the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ, you can take the gospel, the good news, to the world. But the trick of the enemy is to make you think that you're not prepared. You're not prepared, you're not equipped, and you're not ready. I find in Scripture when Jesus was with the disciples, they weren't with him the 3 years yet. He calls them away from their job. Some of y'all have been called away from your job. Been called away from your finances. Some of you have been stripped some finances. Been called away from their homes. Some of you have lost some homes. Some of you have lost some places. Some of you have lost some things in your life. He's called you away from that. But then he says, now what I want you to do is to go out there and don't take nothing with you. I want you to experience something that you haven't experienced yet. We're about to experience the church like never before. The greatest miracles were not performed in the synagogue. They were outside. There's a shift that is coming to the body of Christ where we have seen so many prophetic words given. We've seen so many people get laid out under the anointing of God. Some of them the courtesy drops. But I ain't going to mention anything. Just saying. But if we can walk out and show what the kingdom of God is truly about, in our job, in our school, in our marriage, in the way we treat our children, the way our children treat us. Do you understand what can take place? We can change a dying world outside. But if we don't ever take that time, then what's the use of showing grace and asking for favor if we don't display it outside? Mm-hmm. When you come to the church is not perfect, but neither are you. You come so that God can speak to you through his word to help you to understand and to help you move in the direction that he's called for you to move in. The next number 5 that comes in the book of Exodus is the anointing oil, which also has a multiple of 5 in its ingredients. Pure myrrh was 500 shekels. Sweet cinnamon, 250 shekels. Sweet calamus, 250 shekels. Cassia, 500 shekels. And a hin of oil, which equals 5.5 quarts. Do you see how God is in details with the number 5? Well, here we are in the year of 5777. Grace is going to be displayed upon grace and poured out on heaps upon heaps to the body of Christ. That means that the bride of Christ is getting ready to move in a direction with so much grace and favor that the gifts that have been dormant in your life are about to be activated. That means that the anointing that God has instituted is now getting ready to flow out of you. You've been sitting still. You felt like you may have been on a shelf. Maybe you felt like you've been put away to be seasoned a little bit longer. But maybe because you've been in a holding pattern for a long time, you're getting ready to come out of the gates. You're going to come out running strong. You're going to come out moving in the direction of God with the power of God. The understanding that God has instituted in your life, gifts and talents for his glory, not yours. But everything that you do, you will give God all honor and glory, and that you will begin to understand that everything that you went through in 2014, 15, and 16 is something that was called a setup for you. My spiritual mother came and said last week that it is a fixed fight. It is fixed. Do you understand that every time you get in the ring, it doesn't matter if you get hit. My God, I just want to just say a little bit here. Even though you can prepare and you can get ready for the bout, but if your mind isn't on him, you can be like Ronda Rousey and lose, my God, within 90 seconds. Oh, some of y'all ain't going to want to hear this. You can prepare and prepare and prepare. But if your mind and your heart is not fixed on God, you can still lose a fight. But that doesn't mean that you're going to lose the whole battle. That means you got to get back into position, get back in humility, get humble before the Lord, put yourself under the mighty hand of God. Say, God, fix me now. Fix me now. We can't continue going on thinking that I have all this bitterness and unforgiveness inside. Oh, this is just the way I am. No, it ain't. He didn't make you that way. My God, so much. Y'all want to help a little bit? Help me a little bit, because I'm dealing with a serpent that's trying to make them think they got to stay this way. We ain't going another day thinking that all my stuff is going to stay the same. If you got any kind of sickness or disease going on in your body, His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient to get you through and get you over. There's some mountains you're going to climb. There's some mountains you're just going to have to speak to. And there's some other mountains, my God, that you're going to walk right on through. Oh, Lord. See, Colleen, the enemy's been coming in and causing all kinds of havoc amongst the body of Christ. Getting men pulled away from Him. Men. Can we have holy men of God come back to church, take their position, speak to their children, encourage and prophesy, lay hands on them, look to their bride and say, you are my beloved. You are the woman of God that God has given me. You are the one that I continue to pray for. I'll be on my face for you. I'll continue to be the high priest in the house. I will declare, I will read the word, I will pray, and I will intercede. We need men to come back into position. But the trick of the enemy is to get the men to think, follow after the lust of your eyes. Oh, Lord. Men that think that all the knowledge in the word is going to do it. But when you don't apply it to your life, it's nothing more than just knowledge. When you apply it, it becomes wisdom. What is wisdom? That only comes from God. We got men running around in the clubs. Look, I'm going to go to church and find me a Christian woman. But Lord, you're the devil yourself. I'm not going to bash just on the men, because we got some women too. Oh, Lord. We got some women that want to control the men. You bring your check to me. All your check is mine. I'll give you allowance. You better get back in order with God. Y'all better come in agreement with everything you do. I don't know who this is for, but you better listen up. Listen real good. Don't take this mess in the 2017. Pastor, y'all looking at me, Pastor. Hey, we good. Well, somebody on the podcast then, because it ain't for you. We have got to learn how to love God with all our heart and look over to our neighbor and say, I know you don't like me, but I was called by God to love you. You may not like the way I dress. It'll make me no never mind. You may not like the way I smell. It'll make me no never mind. I love you anyhow. When the church can quit being offended. I said when the church can quit being offended, we may enter into a season where the devil come in and say, I can't mess with this church. There's too much love that I don't understand. There's too much love I can't penetrate. Because the Bible says that God is love. And when love is in your heart, baby, that is love that will begin to push away and cancel out all fear. He says, come unto me, all you that are heavy and burdened. Carrying a heaviness. But in 2017, it says, my grace has been poured out. your revelation of your season. If you got stuff going crazy in your life, the grace that has been released. Grace upon grace. Gifts upon gifts. Is about to be released in your life. What you've been praying for, Lord Jesus, help me, is about to come manifest as the Spirit of God. What you've been believing for, what you've been dreaming about, what you've been declaring, God says, I'm bringing it to pass. I'm bringing it to pass. Come on, somebody. Josh, right there. My grace upon your life is sufficient. That will break the spirit of lethargy. That means being lethargic to go into the place, my God, that will make you to shut down, to be shut off. God says, I'm breaking that thing. My grace on your life will begin to open doors and bring promotion into your life. Begin to lift you up to what you have desired in your heart. What you don't understand now, it comes from God, is going to come as a revelation that will be deposited inside of you. When they look at you, they won't recognize you. When they see you, they'll say, is that JP? There is a change that is coming to you, son. There's a change that is coming inside your spirit, man. It is coming in your heart and it is coming in your mind. The grace is sufficient in your life. He is about to make change and promotion on your behalf. The power of resurrection to cancel death, hell, and the grave rests and resides in you. Everything that has come against you was trying to make you quit, trying to make you give up, trying to make you say, I'm not going to ever get it. God said, I am stepping in right now, and I'm pushing away the things that are trying to take you out. Now I come to declare unto you, man of God, here by the Spirit of God, my presence and my power is resonant inside of you. I call you, beloved, to speak the oracles of God and begin to prophesy. Begin to speak to the circumstances in your life. Begin to declare, thus saith the Lord. You shall never go through this again, says the Spirit of God. You'll never face this darkness again. You'll never face this ambiguity again. Clarity is coming to you, son. Clarity, the power of the Most High God. God, in Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah, hallelujah, woo, hallelujah. My God, last night, we went to a service, a midnight service called the Watchman's Service. Prophets all over the place, all over the place. The spirit of prophecy was moving so strong. They prophesied to me and my wife things that, my God. And I don't know if you understand this, but me and my wife go places, they don't prophesy to us. Boy, did they even speak to us. Spoke some things that were so clear and so accurate. Things that had not even been spoken, we just thought about it. That were in our heart. And when he spoke this, here's what I heard the Lord say. House of Manna, I'm revealing myself in your house. The Spirit of God is getting ready to move with a weighty presence in the house and in the houses that are represented here. You know, it's all right to get a word for the house. You know that, right? Because my prayer isn't, don't give me another, oh, that was a great preaching. That was a great sermon. What did it do to you? What did it do if you walk out the same way? So I said, God, I don't want another preached word. What I'm desiring is for you to move amongst the people. Move amongst them and begin to minister to them right where they're at. Whatever hardships that they're going through, whatever unbelief and disbelief that they have, minister to them. Their circumstances are hard, God. My prayer isn't for me. My prayer is for you. I said, God, in 2017, if you don't bless me, you don't bless me. But bless them. Bless them. If you really knew how I pray for you, you would have an understanding that I'm speaking from my heart right now. I'll pray for my wife. I'll pray for my kids. I don't pray for my needs. I don't. Praise the day, I'll pray for my cat and my dog, but I won't pray for me. But I pray for you. So my heart is for you to be successful. For you to accomplish what God has placed before you to accomplish. So God, if this is who my church is, this is who it is. You've heard me say it for 6 years now, going on 7 years. If it was just me, my mom, my mother-in-law, my wife and kids, and my dad, Popo. If it was just us, and it had been at some time, I would preach like if it was 1,000. Because it's never about the numbers, it's always about who God has sent. What are you coming to get? Maybe you haven't got it yet because you don't understand that you can get it. You can have it. Your sin doesn't cancel you out. Maybe religion will tell you sin is keeping you from being blessed. No, it's not. Sin is under the blood. It's already covered. He paid the price. You just have to turn your heart to Jesus. He'll help you. Ain't nobody perfect here on earth. Nobody, including your pastor. I said, God, I don't want to be up there making people think that I'm put me on a pedestal because I'm the pastor. I'll prophesy everything to you. I'll tell you everything. I'll call out names and numbers, and I'll begin to lay hands. So what? So what? But it's about you guys doing it yourself. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, just bless them. Bless them. Bring breakthrough where breakthrough is needed. Bring healing where healing is needed. Bring restoration where restoration is needed. Bring a family again closer together and let bygones be bygones and let healing take place. Let there be restoration in the family. That's when the kingdom of God is being restored. That's when the grace that is sufficient is moving in the lives of the people, saying, it doesn't matter if you're in the church. My presence resides in you. And I'm moving on your behalf. I'm breaking off drug addiction. I'm breaking off suicide. I'm breaking off the spirit of death off of your life. I'm doing it because I love you. My grace is sufficient in this hour for what God has called you to do. I'm pointing out, says the Spirit of God. Woo! Lord, have your way in this house. Have your way in their homes. Have your way in their marriages. Have your way in the relationships, oh God, with their children, God, with the father, with the mother, Lord. My God, let grandchildren turn back to their grandparents and say, oh, forgive me for being this way. Let grandparents say, forgive me for not understanding the generation that is coming up different. My God. My grace has been poured out once again. Grace upon grace. My God.
people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move by your Spirit, oh God. Let us not stand in the way of your oil. Let it flow, oh God. As you described it, the oil upon Aaron's head began to flow down to his beard. And then it began to pour down from his beard unto his garments. And it began to pour down through his garments to the outer garments, oh God, into the uttermost parts of his garments, Lord. Let your oil flow from the head all the way down to the toes. Let your oil get upon the people of God. Let the oil, oh God, begin to make change in their life. Let your oil, God, begin to disperse the enemy 7 different ways. Let your oil, oh God, begin to give them the oil of gladness and of joy. Let there no more be the hardness of heart, the sorrow and the bitterness in their heart, Lord. But let your grace that is sufficient, oh God, begin to penetrate, oh God, and bring forth fruit in its season, Lord. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way. Have your way. I want to share something with you. I'm not going to continue on with my notes. I want to share something I believe that the Lord is speaking in this very hour about what's about to transpire. And it's found in the Gospel of Luke 24. The Gospel of Luke 24, beginning in verse 13. It says, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them." Hear this. If we can be a people that can look back and reflect back over last year on all the things that Jesus did, he's about to appear to you. He's about to come into your life. He's about to show himself to you. What's this? Verse 16 says, "But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him." There is a season in your life where you feel like God is not listening. That he doesn't hear your cries. Things aren't changing. You feel like he doesn't even see you right where you're at. But he sees you. He knows everything that you're going through and everything you're trying to process. See, this is the only God that walks with you. This is the only God that talks with you. That reveals himself to you. Every other God that was made by man doesn't want relationship. But this guy wants your relationship. This is what he says. Verse 17, he said to them, turn my mic down, please. He said to them, "What are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem unaware of the things which have happened here these days?" Watch this. "Do you not know what's been going on? Do you not know what has transpired?" In other words, like many of us would say, you don't understand what I'm going through. Do you not know what I've been through? Do you not know what my losses are? Do you not know what the pain that I've endured? Do you not understand that the relationships that have caused so much pain? Do you not understand? Are you just a visitor? Verse 19, and he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus, the Nazarene, was a prophet, mighty indeed in word in the sight of God and all the people,
and how the chief priests and all the rulers delivered him the sentence of death and crucified him. But we are hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. Watch this. But also some women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Here's what I want to share with you right now. There's some things that God is about to do that cannot be explained here on earth. Some of you may be in a grieving process, but God's about to show up in your life. He's about to go and visit you on your walk and on your journey. He's about to visit you on the road that you're on. And on this road, you may not feel like he is there, but he is going to go and visit you before he visits the church. Come on, somebody. He is going to make a way to find you along the road before he goes and visits the church. He's going to go and visit you first. Why? Because he knows that you're grieved and you're vexed in the spirit. Your heart is broken. Everything that you went through, you felt like everything was taken. Everything was lost. But God says, I'm coming to meet you on this road. I'm coming to hear what you have to say. I'm coming to hear your revelation on who I am. But once it comes into your heart to know that I am he, I will remove the scales from your eyes and you will see glory. Oh, God, please hear this. My God. 24. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the woman had also said, but they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow to the heart, believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer those things and to enter into his glory? And watch this, verse 27. Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. He begins to reveal scripture. He begins to reveal himself in the word. Some of you have got some loved ones that don't want to read the word. God's getting ready to make that hunger for that word. They're going to begin to read and have understanding. Without all that kookiness and fruitiness that takes place, coming up with their own revelation, it's going to be the revelation of God of who he is, revealed to him, revealed to them of who he is. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he was going farther. Sometimes Jesus is going to keep on walking. But the next verse says, but they urged him. How many of us are ready to urge him to stay? Or we let him walk on by? Will you call him to you? Or will you let him just leave and keep on walking? So we have to have that hunger to keep. I know you're moving, Jesus, and I know you're going somewhere. But I'm not through yet. I want more understanding of who you are. I know I've been taught some things before, but I want to know who you are. Please stay. Please. I urge you to stay. But they urged him, saying, stay with us, for it is getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went to stay with him. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then, verse 31, then their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. God is about to have an encounter with his bride once again. I know this is going to go against a lot of theologians who are saying that he's with us all the days of our life. But there's such an encounter that takes place that you walk away from that encounter knowing that you've been in the presence of the King. That your eyes become open. And where you were once heading, things got turned around. And you wind up back in the place where he wanted you to be, to carry what you just witnessed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's about to visit the church once again.
But it's not for us to say, I had a visitation, and hold it. It's to take that visitation and go tell others, I've encountered the King. I've encountered Jesus Christ. Many would say, no, you haven't. But you know they'll know. And by the way, your actions and your heart is displayed. It's not enough to say we're Christians, but not act like them. It's not enough to go through the motions of Christianity, but not have the heart of Christ. We must have it and display it. The church has become so worldly. It's no wonder why we need to have so many things to attract the people from the world. But I hear by the Spirit of God, He says, if I'm there, I'll draw all men unto me. I'll draw all men unto me. One of my biggest complaints is, God, I don't want to be in no gym. How are they going to know it's you? He says, I'll draw them and they'll come. But they won't encounter me. That's going to break off all kinds of things in their life. But they won't encounter me. God wants to bring healing and deliverance to the body of Christ. And we're going to let Him do it. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Do we have the communion ready?